Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. Welcome back, thanks for making the show part of your Tuesday on this, the 21st of September in 2021. 5 at 5 coming up this hour. Remember, we're busy on Facebook, it's Tuesday. That's a Facebook day for us. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Go to Facebook, pick a category. Danny and I will rank a top five in the category that you guys suggest that Darris likes the most. Top 5 Tuesday comes your way at about 6 o'clock this evening, and we're also going to be announcing Washington football team survivor immunity and who goes home at 6 o'clock tonight in 55 minutes. Get your votes in. I think we're going to close the voting at about 5:30. So you guys have 25 more minutes to go vote. Who's safe coming out of week 2 and who gets immunity? You can't vote for Terry McLaurin. He's immune. You can't vote for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He got booted off the island in week 1. Tough crowd, by the way.
Yeah.
With Colin Quinn. I mean, he gets
good
sent
pull on
home.
Colin Quinn, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you, sir. He gets sent home after getting hurt. And I just tried to say, I'm voting for Curtis Samuel to go home this week. He was hurt as well.
Yeah, I bet you that's who ends up getting it, to be honest
possible.
With you. Yeah.
We'll give you those answers at 6 p.m. By the way, my wife texted me and said, I missed the segment. Please tell me how much weight did Danny gain? And I said, 12.2 pounds Wednesday through Sunday, to which she said, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We should never forget, as he was leaving the room, a Washington Nationals player turned back off air and said, is that really true that you gained 27 pounds over the course of 2 weeks? And I said, yes. He shook his head and said, that's bleeping disgusting. Lingered for a couple seconds, made eye contact, shook his head again and left the room.
The kind of eye contact of, I'm not even mad, I'm disappointed. It's like when you ask your parents if you can go to the party and they say no, and then you say, well, I'm going to go anyway. So as soon as you're asleep, I'm sneaking out.
Uh-huh.
They just kind of give you that look.
The defiance.
That was the look
the
that
kid.
Guy gave you.
Mm. It's like we shouldn't be associating just because I know you and I know what you did. I know what you did.
Do you think that guy will come back next year?
I do, actually.
Do you?
Yeah. Is it weird that I think so?
No, I think it's 50-50 at this point. It's just, I mean, he's got other things he could do.
100%.
But I think he probably, I'm going to say no.
Really?
Won't. Yeah, I'm going to say no. But he could. I don't know. How much does he enjoy
Dollar
doing?
Venmo on that.
All right, let's do
dollar
it.
Dollar Venmo.
Dollar Venmo.
Yep.
If he doesn't come back, I hope he sits in here a few times next season and tells you that you're bleeping disgusting. Because he's definitely going to be around here somewhere. What are Taylor Heinicke's biggest challenges? So we're going to separate staying healthy for a second. I just think teams getting film on you, finding some of your deficiencies, little things like what you see with him is as he's going through his reads, he does this bit where he kind of, it's like a quick second of happy feet, and then he makes his decision where he leaves the pocket or, in one case, made the most unbelievably impressive throw to Ricky Seals-Jones for a touchdown in the back corner of the end zone. Those types of things become tells. It's like a hitter at the plate dipping their hands before they swing or where you expose a hole where they can't get to an inside pitch. I think just the video that teams are going to have on him, which way he bails out of the pocket, what kind of coverages fluster him and lead him to have more problems dissecting things. He's going to start to see all those things get exposed as we go here. But I think this weekend, while he's going to crash back down to earth some, I don't think he's playing a great defense on the road. I don't think this is going to be a disaster. Like, a lot of people feel like this guy just can't play and this has just been a fun little story and the clock's
going to strike
midnight. I don't think so. I think he'll be okay against the Bills. But if he's really good, I'm telling you, I'm coming in here Monday with a whole new mindset.
I mean, to me, the weakness is you see it when he's high sometimes. And I think that's because of height, when he's got to stand in the pocket. To me, they're going to make whoever they is, whether it's Buffalo or teams in the future, are going to make him make those throws over one layer in front of another of the defense. A lot of two deep shell, a lot of stuff where you've got to make either that's that touch pass with some velocity. The tough throws that NFL quarterbacks make. 6'5 guys with howitzers make it look easy. Josh Allen makes that throw in his sleep. Herbert's making it, you know, off schedule, sidearm.
Where you got to drop a ball between a corner and a safety
and
on the outside.
You got to put something on it so it gets over it, but it's got to have enough touch. I don't know that he can do that. I think teams are going to make him try to do that, at least early on, from the pocket.
Did you see the throw? We'll get to the phones in 1 second. Did you see the throw, speaking of Justin Herbert? When we talk about arm strength in the NFL, generally we're talking about like the 15 or 20-yard deep out. He made a throw that sailed in the air. I think Sam Monson of PFF said it was like 40-some yards. But he dropped it between the corner, who leaves you for the safety, and the safety as he's coming over. That little window there when you're trying to beat cover two, or you know, the deep safety coming over. That was one of the best throws I've seen all year. And it was just ho-hum. You know, just like no one watching might even think anything of it, but there's only a handful of guys in the league that can do it. Did you see the throw I'm talking about?
I'm not sure which one you mean.
It was like the near sideline, just 35-yard frozen rope in the air. But it's exactly what you're talking about, that timing of, okay, the corner just gave up on you. The safety will be there in a second, so you got 0.9 to drop this ball.
It's almost like defenses are
before the corner
trails. They're daring you to do that. So it's in front of the safety. They're daring you to make that throw in cover two by the script. And they're basically going to say, can you do this consistently? And it's hard to do. And I think from the pocket for a guy that's a little bit shorter, that's tough. Guys like Russell Wilson have figured that out, by the way. That's a Hall of Famer. It's hard to do. You know, Drew Brees figured it out in a certain way. Again, that's a Hall of Famer. Holding someone to that standard, I think, is a rough ask. I think teams are going to make Heinicke do that from the pocket.
The Bills are number 3 at sacking the quarterback right now, number 2 at allowing first downs. They're number 1 yards per pass play, number 2 passing yards per game. They're number 7 against the run. They're the number 2 defense in the NFL through 2 games in both yards per game, 234, and yards per play. They're only giving up 3.74 yards per play. This is a test for Taylor Heinicke. Let's go to Scott in Silver Spring on the Fan. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's up, buddy?
Let me start by saying I'm not saying any of this to make anyone think I think Heinicke is great, or I mean, that all remains to be seen. But I think he's done enough to deserve the opportunity that he's getting right now. And so I started reading a little bit about him, and at the level of college football he played, he won the award. And I don't know what the award's called. I can't recall, but it's equivalent to the Heisman Trophy.
It's the Danny Ruye Award.
Yeah, it's like the 1AA Heisman.
Yeah, and he passed for over 5,000 yards. Yep. I mean, now I'm not saying that's Trevor Lawrence-esque or anything like that, but obviously the dude can play. I think one thing that's going to help him, though, and it's going to help Scott Turner, too, is if and when Curtis Samuel comes back healthy, you put another burner in the lineup that defenses actually have to game plan for, and you spread out the defense, it's going to allow us to run a little more and take some pressure off Heinicke.
It's a good point.
If it happens, then yes.
Walter Payton Award is what they give out for the Heisman.
Oh, there you go.
In that level, by the way. Yeah, I mean, that's only going to make him better when Curtis Samuel comes back. No doubt about that. Let's go to Benjamin in Fairfax. What's up, Benjamin?
Hey, guys.
What's up, dude?
I think regardless of everyone's expectations of waiting for the four to fall or how well he'll play, is we actually get to have the question answered. Can he stay healthy? Watch him play all season. It's better than just lingering behind Fitzpatrick and having this question pushed until next year. And then to the second point of where everyone was saying 31 other teams passed on him, for the same reason that Joe Barry keeps getting jobs, it doesn't matter what other teams think, because he follows a person, a relationship he's been with Turner everywhere he went. So as long as Turner gives him a shot, he deserves it. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. That Fitzpatrick point, I'm with that. Again, if I don't have a long-term answer, I don't do short-term. If I'm ready to win a championship, then I could talk about a one-year deal for certain guys, or I'll trade for the veteran. I'll do what the Rams have done. But we're still in a building phase, and we thought we could kind of do both at the same time, talking about the WFT. So I would have rather given Heinicke a longer-term shot than go to Fitzpatrick. I've been very clear about that. No need to rehash it. But that's kind of the point. It worked out fortuitously. If there is such a thing as having a Fitzpatrick injury, if you can call that fortunate, in the sense that we get to answer this question now instead of wondering next year if they're still doing this short-term veteran thing next season, we luck-boxed our way into a long sample for Heinicke, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, if next year you bring in Tyrod Taylor,
you're doing this again.
He's your Fitz, and you didn't know what Heinicke was, at least now you're going to know what Taylor Heinicke is, hopefully. And that should be their mission, by the way. They should give him enough time so that they can answer that question for themselves. Richmond John, one of our listeners who sends us music and different things for the show and is super involved and we love, he said, guy gets no first-team reps prior to last week, and we have callers wanting him to be pinpoint on everything. Accuracy is going to get better, but he'll probably struggle at times as teams see more film on him. This is house money. No idea why fans are picking nits. So I kind of get that. Like when we're talking about he's a little bit high. Here's the problem, though. We're so used to doing that. And I don't think we should evaluate quarterbacks that way every single play of every single game anyway. But we did that with Cousins, and we did that with Griffin.
It's a great point.
Now, it's different. Like Griffin was the number two overall pick who was supposed to be the franchise quarterback. Heavy lies the crown. Cousins is then in a franchise tag mode where he wants this massive contract, and you're trying to figure out, can you give him this contract? And so every throw is in some way a referendum, and you're trying to figure out what he is. I think that's the best way to view Taylor Heinicke, though, is this is house money. This guy makes next to nothing. If it doesn't go well, he's not here next year, and we'll just forget this ever happened. If it goes really well, maybe you stumbled into something. But I am not going to go through every throw last week and say, oh, that first throw of the game. Logan Thomas is wide open on like a 15-yard dig route. He throws it way behind him. I'm not going to crush him for that.
It's a great point.
He's had a week of first-team reps.
Yeah, it's a great point.
You know, the pick or this little play here, or he misses this thing. Or there was a play where... It was DeAndre Carter. They had him running kind of middle of the field. I don't think it was a route just to be a decoy, which they call for the love of the game, where you just like take off and run a nine route as fast as possible, as long as possible, so you can clear out underneath for like McLaurin or whatever. I think he was actually an option. But he's downfield for a touchdown, and he ends up looking to the left, and he hits De'Ami Brown. He throws it 6 feet too high, and De'Ami Brown goes up and gets it. So there's a couple things you could pick nits on there.
Mm-hmm.
The throw was way too high to De'Ami Brown. Was a catch, and you missed DeAndre Carter for what could have been 6 points. If you are evaluating Matt Stafford, let's do that. If we're talking about a guy you brought in free agency and spent or traded for Derek Carr, let's say, or whatever, cool. With this guy, you just got a 22-yard completion.
You're totally right.
I'm okay with that right now.
And it's a great point by Richmond John. I mean, I can't have my cake and eat it too on this. When I'm sitting there going, I'd like to get him some first-team reps. That's all I ask. I want that competition I was promised. But which never happened.
Yeah.
He's doing nothing. He's second team Sam. He's playing against second teamers. He's playing with second teamers in the preseason. And he looks good. And now I'm going, in this division game on Thursday Night Football, he missed an open read. You're right. Way more patience is needed. We're in a house money phase.
This is a different conversation for another time. But I would also just point out that it's probably not as instructive as we think to do that with any quarterback, by the way. Like, you throw the ball 44 times in a game, and we go through and we post all the four plays they missed, and we think they're terrible because of it. Quarterbacks have missed those throws since the beginning of time. We care so much more about every play as its own referendum now because we have Twitter and we're reacting to every snap and because we have
totally
film
fair.
At our fingertips. Like, whoever you think the best quarterbacks ever are, they miss those throws every single game. Brady does it 3 or 4 times. Unitas, Favre, whoever it is. Favre's like the 63rd best quarterback who ever lived, in my opinion. Numbers approximate. But, like, they all did it a bunch of times. In every single week, they did it a few times. Let's go to Bruce and Bowie. What's up, Bruce?
Hi. Yeah, you guys, I love the show anyway. You guys talked about all the teams that passed on Taylor, and you know, I just wonder if you've taken into consideration that he's just actually gotten better. He's a different player than he was He's put in all the work, and you know, we expect these guys to improve, but then we're surprised when they actually do improve.
That's a great point.
It is a great point.
Thank you.
Yeah, the 2017 version is not this 2021 version. The guy that Logan Paulson was like, yeah, that dude stunk. We were laughing when I was playing in Atlanta and he had three picks against us and looked terrible. That's not the same player.
What did he tell us? I think he said we were on the sideline going, who is this guy and how is he in the league? We'll ask him. He's on the show tomorrow. So we can ask him about that game and what they were saying. Because it is a really funny story. But the caller is correct.
Yes.
We do not. I'll speak for myself. I won't even do a we thing. I'll do a singular. I don't leave open probably the possibility oftentimes that a guy's improved a lot. I don't think that's wrong. I mean, by and large, a player doesn't go from not being good enough to being really good. It's very, very rare. You will have some players fall through the cracks thinking that way. A guy like a Kurt Warner, you know, that does happen. It's very rare. So I don't have a problem if teams miss out every now and then on the one guy every 9 or 10 years.
Because you're trying to cast the widest net possible to build a football team quickly.
Yeah, you're trying to put together the best algorithm and system, basically.
Like, if Haskins is great someday, bully for him. I wasn't going to wait for it here. Correct. That was right to move on from him. Every once in a while, you get a Josh Allen, where there's a lot of patience. He's not good for a while. Something flips, and now he's an MVP candidate. Their opponent this weekend.
With him, though, as a top 10 pick.
You're going to be patient, and you should be.
Talent was there.
Sure, and you should be patient.
I just mean with guys that had, like, no profile and no one arguing on their behalf, generally that guy does not become a good NFL quarterback.
What usually happens is a guy demonstrates competency just to be okay, right? A guy like Russell Wilson, a Ben Roethlisberger, right? They come into the league, they don't have to do that much. They're on good teams. 20 times a game, you're throwing it, you're basically just checking it down so the team can punt and play defense. Those guys can graduate. There's a minimum level of aptitude that they show. If you don't show that right away, it's very rare that not only do you get to that level, but then you surpass that and become the star that everybody seems to be counting on.
But there is something to be said for incorrectly, like where you were drafted or what people thought the first time they ever saw you is still what they think of. Right?
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
Derek Carr was not a first-round pick.
A second-round pick.
You don't
pick.
Think that has nothing to do with the fact that that guy gets no respect?
100%.
Kirk Cousins was a fourth-round pick taken outside of the top 100. That's got nothing to do with why every time his team loses, he's a jackass, and every time his team wins, it's like he didn't perform. Yeah, like, I think that that's part of it.
It absolutely is.
Kyler Murray's the first overall pick. Or, you know, there's other examples. But like, Josh Rosen's still getting chances. And people are still saying he might be able to play. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Heinicke against Buffalo. Second best defense in the league through 2 weeks. How do we feel about what he'll be able to do? And what's your take on Heinicke so far? You're listening to The Fan.
The longest play of the game. Heinicke throws it into the end zone. Touchdown! What a throw, and Ricky Seals-Jones is there for Washington.
That was a big boy ball from Taylor Heinicke, just a dime. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Ian Harditz of PFF, he's there. Fantasy guy, but he does a lot of studying of football and crunches some interesting numbers. He posted yesterday, we referenced this, Heinicke, dating back to last season, minimum 100 dropbacks, I think it is, counting the playoffs, has the highest percentage of what they call big-time throws and the lowest percentage of interceptable turnover-worthy passes. That's just early eval. I mean, it's only a couple of games.
It's information.
But the point is, he's doing a really good job taking some chances and making some big throws without turning the football over, which is one of the hardest things to do as a quarterback.
Yeah, we ask for the best of all the worlds, right? We want deep passes. We want big plays. And we also want no turnovers. For most mortals, you got to make a choice. Are you check down Charlie? Are you, you know, as Cousins used to say, we don't go broke taking a profit? Do you want that? Do you want the chains to move? Or do you want some deep strikes? Do you want something special? The very rare breed can do both. And so far, he's kind of doing both.
Let's go back to the phones in just a second. 800-636-1067. If you've got concerns about Heinicke's sustainability, viability, finishing off this season the way he's played to this point, what gives you pause? And if you're sold, why? I wanted to just note that the Bills, for as great as they've been on defense, have been bad offensively so far. Actually not good. They've run the ball pretty well. And I think a lot of that is you got a mobile quarterback who adds to the rushing totals. It's not like Washington did a good job defending a running quarterback last week.
Oh, yes.
Daniel Jones went for 95, would have been well over 100 with two touchdowns, if not for, you know, one of his touchdown runs getting called back on a hold by a receiver way downfield. But the Bills are sixth in rushing offense and ninth in yards per play on the ground. This is the number 27 offense in the league, though. Only two games. You don't want to get too bogged down in the rankings.
Because they played Pittsburgh, whose defense was at full strength and really, really good. Week two, it was weird. I still can't figure out kind of how that game got to the way that it did, but they didn't have to do an awful lot on offense. We've got some track record here, right? I know with Washington, we're getting mad because we're telling people, I don't care about last year. I care about the results this year. But Buffalo's got enough deposits in the bank offensively where you go, that's not going to be the 27th best offense in the NFL come season's end.
Yeah, they're going to be a lot better, no doubt. I'm wholeheartedly with you. I am a proponent of, though, you'll hear me say this a lot this year if you're new to the show, it's not when you play a team, it's not who you play, but when you play them, right? Meaning, you can play the Bills and it looks like a loss and you're going, oh man, Josh Allen, that guy's an MVP. In week 18, he might be fighting for the MVP award, mm-hmm. having had this incredible season. Right now, he's scuffling, and right now this offense is out of rhythm and out of sync. Stephon Diggs isn't really involved like they want. I mean, they just haven't looked crisp. If you watch the two games, you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. I've gone back last night, watched both their games on Game Pass. They haven't looked good offensively. Now, they could have a coming out party, but I say all this to tell you that if I'm Washington's defense, you're catching them at a good time. Let's go to Jim in Spotsy. Used to go to the Spotsylvania Mall all the time and buy cards from a guy named Tim. What's up, Jim? How are you?
Well, I guarantee it wasn't me, but hey, guys, regarding the 31 teams, when he came into the league, remember, Vikings, Bridgewater was that year, Bradford followed. He then shows up at the Patriots, he's got to bump Brady. Then he's at Texans, Deshaun Watson. Then he's at Panthers, Wen Newton. Yeah, that's pretty elite crew, and some people were taking a pretty good fly on him. The other context and relevance here is who else is in the house right now? This is what we've got. This is what we knew we were going to have. And based upon who he was backing up and who was taking a fly at him, part of this I'm going to throw out to you guys. As Redskin fans, we're just so beat up and we're so pessimistic that even when a guy is playing with all his heart, and I think he's right now the best thing we got in the house, unless you've got a better option, we better get on this train and just, hey, enjoy the ride.
Well, I think that's the key. Thank you. And as of this moment, with Fitzpatrick hurt,
I'm having fun.
Yeah, so far it's been a lot of fun.
This is fun.
Put my hands up when we go over the hills and scream when we get to the bottom of the hill. I've been happy so far.
Yeah, to me, the most fun, though, is excellence and championships. And right. I don't know that we have that. Right now, this is the best we got. He's 100% right. My point is, I think we can do better, and I'd like to do better.
Yeah, but that's not.
But we're here. But we can't do that
today.
Right now.
Yeah,
we can't do that right now.
Right now, we're figuring out how to get to Orchard Park. You know what I mean? Like, it's week three of this season where they chose to go into the year with a journeyman in Fitzpatrick, a journeyman in Heinicke, and a guy in his second stop in Allen who's only played for Scott Turner and Ron Rivera, essentially. Let's go to Rod in D.C. on the fan. What's up, Rod?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Man, it's not like he's been DiNucci.
Exactly.
But you know what's interesting about, and I'm going to let you finish Kanye style. You know what's interesting about that comment, though? It doesn't take long to see when a guy doesn't have it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's like NBA Summer League.
Absolutely. Ben DiNucci comes in and looks like a lost puppy. It looks like, oh my God, and he was a seventh round pick, by the way. But that's a guy that will never start in this league. And if you watch Hard Knocks or whatever, Mike McCarthy believes, he said, it's between the eyeballs with him. It's his head. He's a yinzer. I don't know why I'm doing an old country voice. But the point is, like, he's still sold on his physical tools. That's what it looks like when a guy doesn't right away show off that they belong. They just stand there, they pat the ball, they get sacked a million times, and they throw picks. Anyway, keep going.
Right. But so I feel like, I mean, Heineke is passing like my eye test and my expectations. I'm not expecting much from him. His back is against the wall. I mean, he has a chip on his shoulder. I feel like, right, we don't need him to throw 40-plus times a game. So I need our coaches, who's ever calling plays, right, to put him in better positions, right? We've got speed guys, McLaurin, Deami Brown, what have you, right? Get those guys open in space. Let's get the ball out of his hands quickly, right, so he doesn't have to hold on and run and put himself in danger. But so far, so good. I mean, Heineke's my guy. I mean, we bought him, but I still have my receipt just in case I got to return him.
Perfect.
That's great. Yeah, right now, hang on to that receipt for a little while longer. Kevin's in Arlington on the Fan. Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. Hey, Danny, I want to sort of challenge an assumption you made.
Please.
So this is what I think. I think there was a competition, and I think Taylor was horrible in practice. I remember Michael Phillips reporting again and again just how bad he looked, with the exception of when they would do the two-minute thing at the end of the morning practice or whatever, and then, you know, when he could create, he was terrific. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Another thing was Heineke himself said, you know, in training camp, when I practice, my goal is to do exactly what the play calls for. I'm not being creative in that setting. I'm trying to, you know, make the throw exactly how it's supposed to be. And in other words, he's almost like
– Right. More robotic than he really is. Yeah.
Right. Right. Which we know he isn't. So we've already talked about he's a gamer, right? So here's where I'm at. We still don't know if he isn't injury prone. I fear that, particularly with this line. And we still haven't seen 4 or 5 game tapes for opposing D coordinators to then really break him down and see how he does. So we're in a watch, wait and see mode. I would just point out that the last time two guys came out of nowhere and climbed the mountaintop, that was the Super Bowl in 2002 with Kurt Warner and Tom Brady. Okay, it's so rare. That was 20 years ago that we had someone at the top of the game basically come out of nowhere from bagging groceries or 6th round at Michigan. He couldn't even win starting gig.
Totally.
So it's remarkable what's happening, but it's early. We're just going to have to see. But I will one last thing, and Grant's going to kill me on this. But Taylor Heineke was Trey Lance in 2012. He was the Walter Payton Award winner at the FCS level. He did amazing things at ODU. The difference is he doesn't have that body or that horsepower and the legs or arms. Oh, he might have the legs, but he doesn't have the arm and body Lance does. But this guy could play.
Why am I going to kill you on that? Just
it's information, like
But are you saying he would have gone top 5 if he had his body?
I guess what I'm saying, more and more people that can play at that FCS level, like at that level, I've Dallas Goedert, you know, Trey Lance, you know, these guys can play in the NFL and they can make, you know, they can make a name for themselves. I think what's held Heineke up was the other caller said it, all these great quarterbacks ahead of him. He's been injury prone. He's a little guy, on and on and on, but he's getting his chance now. And we're seeing this guy is not afraid of the big moment.
No, he hasn't been. I mean, he's played 4 times and he's played well 4 times. Only part of that I'll disagree with is I'm more on your side of it. If you and him have a disagreement on if there was a competition, I don't know how anyone can look at what happened in camp or in the preseason and tell me there was a competition.
First team reps to me is the beginning and end of that.
And his point is, well, he didn't play well. He didn't practice well, according to the reports. Okay. With backups. Never took those first team reps and split them. A competition is something you know when you see it, right? You're wet or you're dry. You're pregnant or you're not. You're competing for the quarterback job or you're not. He never competed for the quarterback job. Fitzpatrick knew that. He knew that. Everyone in that building knew that. Fitz was their starter. And knowing what we know now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Josh, Arlington, you're up. Go ahead.
Yes, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to kind of hit on two or three things. So the first thing is I think that we're so quick to judge because we haven't had competent level coaching in a while. And I think what we're actually seeing is a byproduct of good coaching. We have good defensive-minded coaches who are challenging him in practice, as well as, you know, maybe North Turner is actually doing a really good job calling the plays
and to which case we've never seen Heineke's weaknesses because he does a really good job of hiding. So I'm kind of evaluating the next few weeks as, hey, how does he respond when he does make a mistake? If he gets into a similar situation like the Giants, is he going to throw that pick, or is he just going to throw the ball away in that scenario?
Well, and remember, he came back out on the field after that pick, and they went
good
on
resilience the there, yeah.
Drive to go kick a game-winning field
I like
goal.
That point, though, about Scott Turner catering to the strengths. I think that may be a smart point there, because he knows Heineke so well.
Well, nobody knows Heineke better.
Scott Turner's been on it from Jump Street.
I love mentioning this
decade
anecdote.
Plus.
He's the only guy who showed up to watch him throw.
Did anyone else show up at the pro day?
The only guy. There's one from the
Scott
NFL.
Turner's got his stopwatch and clipboard.
Minnesota, Carolina, and Washington. And if he goes somewhere else, he'll probably be there. We can continue with this next, but we do have audio I want to play. Danny hasn't heard this. I don't even think he knows this exists yet. I worked with this just a few minutes ago with Darius. Robert Griffin publicly talking about being interested in returning to Washington. Now, that's not happening.
I have some thoughts.
But I just want to play the clip for people because it's just amazing. In 2021, 9 years after he played well here for several weeks, that this is somehow a thing. Thing or not a thing, it's a thing. Grant and Danny on the Fan. A Tuesday on Grant and Danny means Washington football team survivor. 6 o'clock, we'll find out how you voted on Facebook at facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Somebody's going home. Somebody's getting immunity. Terry McLaurin is safe coming out of week one after his performance against the Chargers. Can't get immunity twice, although I'm guessing he'll be safe again after his career-high 11 catches for over 100 yards. Speaking of McLaurin, if you missed him yesterday, he was awesome. Make sure you grab that
so
interview.
So good.
TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio. Nice write-up there of Terry McLaurin from his time joining us on the show every Monday at 4 o'clock. Darius, Top 5 Tuesday. We got a category we've got to rank next segment before we get out of here. Which category have you chosen?
Chosen.
Which category have you chosen for us, and is it a sports or non-sports category?
It is a sports category, attaboy, if you consider this a sport. I know some people may not.
Uh-oh.
It's kind of controversial. But, yeah, we're going to go top five wrestlers. Top five wrestlers.
Oh. All-time favorites.
All-time favorite pro wrestlers. Shawn Michaels.
Okay. There's going to be – he's leading the witness a little bit there. I think there's going to be some crossover between us.
There'll be some crossover.
But you are older than I am, and you watch wrestling before I did. So
yeah, when I was a kid, Saturday morning, it was the most important thing of my week. That's all you could see. It was just a review of what happened that week, and then they'd have the live events, just dudes cutting promos with Mean Gene Okerlund.
From about 1998 to 2001, Monday Night Football and Monday Night Raw coincided, and it was just an absolute battle royale to see what got my attention more. I loved the Attitude Era. But I was all WWF. I did not really watch WCW at all. Goldberg's winning streak and NWO kind of got my attention like it got everyone's attention. But I was a WWF guy. So we'll do that. Top of the hour, our top five. So Robert Griffin was interviewed by Adam Schefter. Both of them now work at ESPN. Griffin's an analyst. Remember, Griffin had the tweet where he was asking the Washington football team to call him?
Make the call!
After he...
Fitzpatrick's injury.
Watched Fitzpatrick go down. He waited like, I don't know, 60 seconds. And then he asked to be called to be the quarterback here. So this was the question and answer.
You never say never is what I would say. Would I be open to it? Yeah, I would love to go back and be able to have that come full circle, you know. But am I begging for that or pleading for that? Nah. But if your guy goes down, make the call.
As a guy who loves stories, that would be a great story, Robert.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a great story? I mean, come on. You know, I've always looked at the situation in Washington as just wrong place, wrong time.
Robert, what gives you that lump in your throat? What is Schefter doing, by the way,
with
this podcast?
Is his podcast always this?
Robert, here's a softball. Wouldn't it be fun and a great story if somebody gave you a chance? Like, what are we doing?
I really am a Schefter guy. I'm not just saying that, buttering him up so I can now throw a right cross. It's going to sound like that. Yeah. But I really do like Schefter. I think the world of the guy as a reporter. Is this what his podcast is?
I think it may be this.
Because I've never listened to it. I've never checked in on it at any point. And then two times in the last few weeks, I've heard this cut, and then I listened to the entire Tanya Snyder interview. The Tanya Snyder interview was embarrassing. I'm just going to call that what it is. I mean, the next question that got cut off was, and Tanya, is it true that when you were a kid, you had blue paint in your room? Like, it was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible thing that I listened to for 35 minutes. I can't believe he did it, and he should be embarrassed. That's the only clip from this I've heard. But what is he doing with his podcast?
I don't know. I guess if you're a reporter, you don't want to be hard-hitting. You don't want to be controversial. You're not offering takes.
I'd say it's the opposite of that.
Well, if you're a reporter, you're not like offering opinions. You're not being controversial in any way. You're basically just softballing these guests, giving them a chance in a platform to spout nonsense. Robert, you've been out of football for a while. Everyone knows you're not good. Are you coming back? No. Like, what questions are these? He's in the media now. Robert Griffin's a media guy. That's okay, by the way. Lots of people are media guys. He's doing college football games, please and thank you.
2012 was so amazing. It was one of the most fun years to be a fan of this team in this town since they were actually good in accomplishing things in 91.
As much fun as I've had since 99.
Matter of fact, probably was the most fun year. I love the 99 team the most, just personally. I was 10 years old, and I got to be on the sideline and following that team around, went to the playoff game in Tampa, all those things. But that's a personal experience. I think for most Washington football team fans, 2012 was as good as it's gotten if you're about my age, young to mid-30s or younger. I can't tell you how many people I talk to all the time in my season ticket group, on my fan text chain, whatever. 2012 is the best it's been for them.
Make the call.
I'll never forget that. But even still, if you would have told me like 5 years ago that this would be a thing today, I just wouldn't have believed you.
Make the call.
I'm hungry for pizza. What should I do?
Make the call.
I want Jersey Mike's really bad, but I want it to be there when I get there, ready for me to pick up.
Make the call.
Maybe I will. Grant and Danny on the Fan will rank our wrestlers. We'll get you your Washington football team survivor answers next.
Make the call.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny. We are off early today at about 6:10. The Nats play a 6:40 game tonight. Pre-game starts about 8 minutes from now. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler. As we welcome you back, we got business to tend to in these final few minutes of the show. We got to figure out who's getting voted off the island and who's getting immunities. So let's get to Washington football team survivor right now. We'll check Facebook. You guys have been voting all day long. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. So, Ryan, you've tallied up the votes. What do we got?
I have. We're going to start with the immunity first. So, finishing third, we have a tie there with J.D. McKissick, Jamin Davis, and Logan Thomas. In second place for immunity, it'd be Jonathan Allen with 23 votes in second. First place, it's the talk of town. It's Taylor Heinicke. He has 33 votes. And he has the immunity for the week.
Yep.
You knew Taylor Heinicke was going to get immunity.
You knew it.
All right, so he will be safe. He could throw 7 picks. He could pull a Nathan Peterman. He could go to Buffalo and pull a Nathan Peterman, and it won't matter because he is immune. So I like that. So he is going to be fine. He'll be alive, as you'd expect, going into week 4. All right, so who is the second Washington football teamer to be voted off the island?
So the second one, I'm going to start at... For places of votes. In third place, we have Curtis Samuel. He's not there yet.
Whoa! Wow.
Yeah, he's not put. There. Yep, he's staying put.
Stunning.
Second, we have Sam Cosmi. He's staying put as well. He's not voted off yet.
Interesting, by the way, because he did give up a sack. PFF says it was on the quarterback, not him, that Heinicke basically dropped too far. They graded him out beautifully this week. They said he was the best right tackle in the league. Not quite what my eyeballs said, but people, I guess, are more on my side. I don't know if he should be kicked off this week. That's interesting. So he was the runner-up. So who's going home?
It's an expensive man, Landon Collins. He's voted off the
island.
He's, yeah.
That's stunning. He didn't do anything wrong, per se.
He just didn't do anything.
Right. I guess people are just tired of that, the not doing anything part with a lot of money being
Would you rather it be Curtis Samuel, I guess, and not play at all?
So Ryan Fitzpatrick out in week one, Landon Collins out in week two. We've got 16 games to go, so there are 17 players still standing, I suppose, is how this works. Or actually, 15 games to go, so 16 players left standing for Washington Football Team Survivor. All right, good voting. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. We do it every single week. It is time for Top 5 Tuesday. All right, Danny, we'll go 5-1. Let's go back and forth. Who you got?
Nowhere near as good as my guy Dan Soder at this impression, but I'll give it a shot. The thing with shadow and darkness, yeah, let me tell you something. There's one man, yeah, the Macho Man coming through. Randy Macho Man Savage cut a promo like nobody's business with Sweet Elizabeth. He was awesome and a rock star. Macho Man, number 5.
I loved Macho Man as this Slim Jim guy. It was a little before my time as a wrestler.
I know he was.
Believe it or not. But if I did that impression, I'd be coughing for an hour. I'm Jared Goff.
Yeah, it's hard.
So I can't stop. So I'm not going to do the impression, but he was my guy with the Slim Jims. I'll say Ken Shamrock, number 5. I was a huge Shamrock guy. Used to do the ankle lock, if you remember.
Yeah, sure. Came with out Ken of, Postick.
Yeah, he used to come out of UFC as a like this. He would make everyone tap, and he wore a blue Speedo. I was just love me some Ken Shamrock.
Number four
for me, oh, Jeff ahead. Hardy, high flyer. I'm a big high flyer guy. If I had to give you a current wrestler, Kofi Kingston's my guy right now. I don't really know anything about wrestling currently, but he's my guy. Jeff Hardy, number 4, going off cages, going off the top of ladders.
I wanted to include Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in my list for that reason, just because his matches were the most fun, but I couldn't have him beat out number 4. Styling, profiling, woo! Ric Flair, the ultimate Ric Flair. Just so much fun.
Again, your boy.
I know.
No file. Now, I watched him wrestle a lot because he wrestled until like 3 months ago, but he was WCW. When he came on, hard pass. I'm going back over to Raw. We got things brewing. We got bra and panty matches and all kinds of weird stuff in the Attitude Era when I was 11.
He changed the game, Ric Flair did,
yeah,
back in the day.
All right, number 3, Triple H. You may know him. May have heard of him.
Yeah.
Triple H.
Number 3 for me. Drag your ass up to room 316. Put a stunner on you. That's Stone Cold Steve Austin for that ass.
Stone Boom. Cold's my number 2.
Number 3, Stone Cold.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, as good as it got. He would tag team occasionally with random people, and I would love them for the night. Stone Cold was the dude. When he came in to the arena in like the big truck, and oh, everything he did was cooler
so
because
good.
He did it.
So that was he's your number 2?
Yes.
Who do you think my number 2 should be?
The Rock.
It doesn't matter who you thought it should be. The Rock is the number
That's
2.
A good one.
He came, he was hated. He was vilified when he was Rocky. Rocky sucks. Rocky sucks. He turned into an anti-hero. He had great matches. They were epic. His promos were second to none. Superstar.
Who do you think's my number 1?
Your
it
number
It doesn't matter who you think is my number 1. How did you walk right into
it? I walked
that?
Right into it. I think well, it could be in so many people.
The Rock says, know your role and shut your mouth. I'll turn you sideways and stick it straight up. Yo. Oh, The Rock. How did you walk right into
it? I walked right into it.
I stole your materials.
I walked right in.
30 seconds after you did.
Short memories.
I thought he was going to be like, I'm not playing that game.
I'm not doing that. I was but like, well, he let me see. It could be.
You're like, did you say Rikishi yet? Is it Rikishi?
Is it Yokozuna? Earthquake. Number 1 for me. The most important wrestler of all time. The dude that brought everything together, Vince McMahon's golden boy, Hulk Hogan. The number 1 wrestler by far and away. Picked up Andre the Giant, the pay-per-views, the promos, Hulkamania. He was the biggest deal when he ripped that tank top off. Young Rainey Douye would pass out from joy.
I wish I would put him on my list. Again, though, it was the NWO thing was cool. WCW, just if he was in WWF when I was watching, mm-hmm. probably would have been.
Because he was
list.
The WWF. I mean,
absolutely.
That's, he made
but
it.
But before me,
mm-hmm. I know.
Like Attitude Era, he was gone and he was doing the NWO, NWO Wolfpack thing. Should point out, someone said you guys don't think Landon Collins does anything wrong? Question mark. I mean, I remember that he didn't keep contain against Daniel Jones on a boot and he ran for 1 million yards. I remember that. It did happen. But I wouldn't have thought he was getting voted off the island after the big comeback 2 weeks in. But people, they don't care about that comeback. They need you to play better football. Fun show today. We're back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow for a Wednesday installment of G&D. Remember, if you missed our Terry McLaurin interview, thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com. What do you got on the docket tonight, Danny?
On the Darnell, I'm going to watch the Nats when I get home, hang out with the boys. I got to hear about baseball practice and maybe a temper tantrum or two.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler have your pregame next. Thanks to Darris and Ryan for the production. As always, for Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Make the call.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.